You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
In the history of the foundations of the Company of Jesus in the Kingdom of Naples is related the following story of a noble youth of Scotland named William of Elphinstone. He was a relation of King James, born a Protestant heretic. He followed the false sect to which he belonged, but enlightened by divine grace, which showed him his errors, he went to France, where, with the assistance of a good Jesuit father, who was, like himself, a Scotsman, and still more by the intercession of the Blessed Virgin, he at length saw the truth, abjured heresy, and became a Catholic. He went afterwards to Rome, where a friend of his found him one day, very much afflicted and weeping. He asked them the cause, and he answered that in the night his mother had appeared to him and said, "My son, it is well for thee that thou hast entered the true church. I am already lost because I died in heresy." From that time, he became more fervent in his devotion to Mary, chose her for his mother, and by her was inspired to become a religious. He made a vow to do so, but being ill, he went to Naples to restore his health by a change of the air. But the Lord ordered it so that he should die in Naples and die a religious. For having become dangerously ill soon after his arrival there, he, by prayers and tears, obtained from the superiors admittance, and when about receiving the viaticum, he made his vows in presence of the Blessed Sacrament, and was enrolled in the society. After this, in the tenderness of his feelings, he gave thanks to his mother Mary for having rescued him from heresy and brought him to die in the true church and in a religious house in the midst of his brethren. Therefore he exclaimed, "Oh, how glorious it is to die in the midst of so many angels." Being exhorted to take a little rest, he answered, "Ah, this is not the time to rest when the end of my life is drawing near." Before dying, he said to the persons present, "Brethren, do you not see the angels of heaven around me?" One of the religious, having heard him murmuring something to himself, asked him what he had said. He answered that his angel guardian had revealed to him that he should die or he should be in purgatory but a short time and would soon enter paradise. Then he began again to talk with his sweet mother Mary, and repeating the word, Mother, Mother, he tranquilly expired like a child falling asleep in the arms of its mother. Soon after, it was revealed to a devout religious that he had already entered paradise. Could the faith of this William of Elphinstone be found in my parish and yours today? Good morning and welcome here to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria, where we explore why we believe what we believe and why we do what we do as Catholics, as members of the Bride of Christ. All these extraordinary examples that are contained in the book of, written by St. Alphonsus Liguori, titled The Glories of Mary, are therefore our inspiration and edification. Inspiration in the sense that all these sinners, some of them more vile than the next, through the mercy shown by heaven, through the intercession of the Blessed Mother, to the graces that were given to them through the intercession of the Blessed Mother, that there is hope. Hope for you and me. Hope for you and me, miserable sinners, so that we too can, like this gentleman here, when the time comes when we expire, it would be like a child falling asleep in the arms of its mother, the Blessed Mother.
Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, hallelujah. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, baruch haba b'shem Adonai.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
In the words of Sister Lucia of Fatima, quote, "The final battle between the Lord and the kingdom of Satan will be about marriage and the family." The final battle between the Lord and the kingdom of Satan will be about marriage and the family. She also said, quote, "The Blessed Virgin Mary told me that the devil is in the mood for engaging in a decisive battle against the Virgin. From now on, we must choose sides. We are either for God or we are for the devil. There is no other possibility." End of quote. In this insight by Sister Lucia of Fatima before she passed away, the final battle between Satan and the Lord is over the family, marriage and the family. Why? One of the reasons is that the family, according to the Church Fathers, is an icon of the Most Holy Trinity, of that first family. The Trinity, a family. Where you have God the Father and God the Son. And the love between the Father and the Son is God the Holy Spirit. We, in our own families, in holy marriage, a father and a mother, and the love between the father and a mother, after 9 months, you get a bambino. A Trinity. Our families are a reflection of the heavenly Trinity. And Satan hates that. And as the saints have said, one of the reasons being is that though Satan is one of the most powerful creatures ever created, Satan is sterile. Angels and demons cannot reproduce themselves. But we humans can. And I think one thing we tend to forget and neglect is that when a man and a woman bring another being into this world, when a man and a woman have a child, they are not just bringing into the world something that is just flesh and blood, but they are bringing into the world, by the grace of God, something that is flesh, blood, and soul. They are bringing into the world something with an immortal soul. Something that will ultimately have an immortal destiny, either in heaven or in hell. And so, if you think of it, the war between the serpent and the family began in the garden. The Garden of Eden, with that first earthly family, Adam and Eve. Whereby the war began in the Garden of Eden with our first parents, Adam and Eve. And so too here, through the words of Sister Lucia, the war has always been between the serpent and the family. right down to our age. And to the inspiration of heaven, Sister Lucia was able to write the final battle. And again, she doesn't say the penultimate, the second to last, the final battle between the Lord and the kingdom of Satan will be about marriage and the family. And if one were to be intellectually honest, you would look around our culture today and see how right she was. In a previous session, we talked about how, with respect to at the moment of creation of Adam and Eve, as reflected in the writings of Venerable Mary of Agreda, in that extraordinary book, The Mystical City of God, which was written 400 years ago, she was permitted to see in a vision through our Blessed Mother and through our Lord, that she was permitted to see that at the creation of Adam and Eve, Satan was not permitted to see their creation, and whereby he did not know if Adam and Eve were the Word made flesh and the woman who would crush his head. He did not know that. He was looking for the Word and his mother. And whereby he sought to bring the Word and his mother down. He did not know that Adam and Eve were not the Word and his mother. But even so, in the temptation, in the fall of our first parents, when Adam and Eve fell from grace, the way they fell ceded a certain dominion to the demons over us physically and emotionally. Why? As I said previously, because it was through the senses and the flesh that original sin entered the world, Satan and the demons are allowed to use them as vehicles of temptations. They do not have access to our intellect and will, but they can act upon our bodies, our senses, and our flesh. The fruit was pleasing to the eye. She took and ate, ceding control of our senses, in a sense, over to the demons, whereby our senses can be accessed by the demonic to lead us further into temptation, further into sin. The war began in the garden between the serpent and the family. And it is like this culture of death in our nation today, in Western culture, that seems to be in total war against marriage as ordained by God and the family. In the words of Venerable Mary of Agreda, he, Satan, studied and plotted out some means which would suffice to deprive them, Adam and Eve, of the grace of the Most High and make them God's enemies. Here she is writing about the time where, before the fall, he watched them carefully, studied them, looking for a weakness with which to bring them down. And here she writes, and to make them God's enemies. It is like our culture today is treating God as an enemy. And so this culture of death, which we live in, which holds sway over our nation, looks like, it seems like, and is going out of its way to evict God from the garden, so to speak. Venerable Maria also writes, "He, Satan, took the form of a serpent, and thus speaking to Eve, drew her into a conversation which she should not have permitted. Listening to him," listening to Satan, "and answering, she began to believe him, and then she violated the command of God and finally persuaded her husband likewise to transgress this precept." It's like Satan is using this modern day paganized culture of ours as a vehicle to destroy the family, to insinuate himself between God and the family, to evict God from the garden. Extraordinary to think about. Sin evicting a holy God out of our lives, out of our culture, out of this garden of ours. And then after the fall, as was permitted to for Venerable Mary of Agreditasi, quote, "When Lucifer saw the two fallen and their interior beauty and grace and original justice changed into the ugliness of sin, he," Lucifer, Satan, "celebrated his triumph with incredible joy and vaunting in the company of his demons. But he soon fell from his proud boasting when he saw, contrary to his expectations, how kindly the merciful love of God dealt with the delinquents, and how he offered them a chance of doing penance by giving them hope of pardon and return of grace. Moreover, he saw how they were disposing themselves towards this forgiveness by sorrow and contrition, and how the beauty of grace was restored to them. And when the demons perceived the effect of contrition, all hell was again in confusion. He, Satan's consternation grew when he heard the sentence which God pronounced against the guilty ones, in which he himself was implicated. More especially and above all was he tormented by the repetition of that threat, 'The woman shall crush thy head.' Venerable Mary went on to write, "The offspring of Eve multiplied after the fall, and so arose the distinction and the multiplication of the good and the bad, the elect and the reprobate, the ones following Christ the Redeemer and the others following Satan. The elect cling to their leader by faith, humility, charity, patience, and all the virtues, and in order to obtain victory, they are assisted, helped, and beautified by the divine grace and the gifts which the Redeemer and Lord of all merited for them. But the reprobate, without receiving any such benefits from their false leader, or earning any other reward than the eternal pain and the confusion of hell, follow him in pride, presumption, obscenity, and wickedness, being led into these disorders by the father of lies and the originator of sin." Again, by the words of Sister Lucia of Fatima. The Blessed Virgin Mary told me that the devil is in the mood for engaging in a decisive battle against the Virgin. From now on, we must choose sides. We are either for God or for the devil. There is no other possibility. So too as reflected here in the writings of the Venerable Mary. Where the good reflect the disposition of their leader, God. While the reprobate reflect the disposition and character of their leader, Satan.
You are listening to Christian Roots. here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. To contact us, email christianroots@radiomaria.ca. We now continue with the program. Here once again is your host, Eliseo Zompanti.
In that extraordinary book, The Mystical City of God by Venerable Mary of Agreda, written some 400 years ago, whereby she was given personal revelation by our Blessed Mother and our Lord with respect to various instances during the lives of our Blessed Mother and our Lord, and also insight into the instances of creation, of the creation of our first parents, and that war that began in the garden between Satan and the family. After the fall, here in the words of Venerable Mary of Agreda, she writes that, notwithstanding all this, the Most High, in His ineffable kindness, gave our first parents His benediction, in order that the human race might grow and multiply. The Most High Providence permitted that Eve, in the unjust Cain, should bring forth a type of the evil fruits of sin, and in the innocent Abel, both in figure and in imitation, the type of Christ our Lord. For in the first just one, the law and doctrine of Christ began to exert its effects, and all the rest of the just were to follow it, suffering for justice's sake, hated and persecuted by the sinners and the reprobate, and by their own brothers. Accordingly, patience, humility, and meekness began to appear in Abel, and in Cain, envy and all wickedness, for the benefit of the just and for his own perdition. The wicked triumph and the good suffer, exhibiting the spectacle which the Word in its progress shows to this day, namely the Jerusalem of the God-fearing and the Babylon of the God-forsaken, each with its own leader and head. So we are either a culture in imitation of the patience, humility, and meekness of Abel, or we are a culture in imitation of the envy and wickedness of Cain. And it seems all too clear that our culture has made its choice, that we've chosen to follow the path of Cain rather than that of Abel. If this battle began in the garden between the serpent and the family, and the battle continues today between the serpent and the family, this battle will ultimately be won in the family, whereby every family, whether we like it or not, is a battleground. There is no two ways around it. It began in the garden, and it continues till this day, and it will continue on till the end of time. And yet, we do not even realize, even as Catholics these days, that there is a war going on between the serpent and our family, between the serpent and the souls of our family, whereby the souls of our family are the prize. Adam was supposed to be the shepherd of his family, and he was commanded by God to abad and shamar, to serve, provide, guard, and protect. Many times it's translated in scriptures or in the Bible, the English translations as to till and to keep, but the proper translation is to serve and to guard, to provide and protect. And so if that is the command given to Adam, Abad and Shamar, to serve, provide, and to guard and protect his earthly flock, and so it is also the command that is implicitly and explicitly given to and expected of every Catholic man. Every Catholic man is expected to serve and provide and guard and protect his bride, his family. To protect his bride, his earthly Eve, both physically and spiritually and emotionally. And to succeed where Adam failed. And as I've mentioned in previous sessions, at the wedding, it's not the father of the bride who gives away the hand of the bride in marriage. It's God who's giving his daughter's hand in marriage to the man. If you think of it, there's an extraordinary, beautiful relationship between father and daughter. And so it is with God, that one can say that God's most precious possession are his daughters. And that when he gives his daughter's hand in marriage to a man, to a Catholic man, he expects that man to treat her the way God expects you to treat her and the way God himself would treat her. Eternal actions that speak of the nature and dignity of women should be expected of them by all men. And so we men, Catholic men, are expected to be the earthly shepherd whereby we are expected to, through the trials and travails of life, through all the obstacles and temptations thrown by Satan in our path, to shepherd our family home to heaven and ultimately to be able to hand back the hand of our wife back to their father, God. And whereby also to be a good husband, one must love God more than his wife. And to be a good wife, she must love God more than her husband, with one great expectation of the both of you, that you get each other to heaven, and that you as father and mother become the ladder by which your children can climb to heaven, and that you as a husband have that extraordinary obligation placed at you in your hands at the moment of your I do at marriage, bring God his daughter back. Wow. And so it is that a father, a husband, to be a good earthly shepherd in this valley of tears, a father and a husband must protect his family from his own sin. In the sense that in the Old Testament, a nation can suffer because of the sins of its leader. And that a family can suffer because of the sins of its father. That a godly husband protects his family by turning away from sin and pursuing holiness. And where a husband ultimately has to choose, whereby a husband has to be more committed to his family than to his sins. The father, because he is the earthly shepherd of the family, father, the head of the family, the mother, the heart of the family. But is there an extraordinary responsibility placed on men in this war? In this war since the time of creation that has been fought by the serpent and the family, that it is your obligation to protect your family from the serpent, where your own family is in essence, your home in essence is your Garden of Eden, and it is your obligation to protect it from that which would seek to infiltrate your family, that would seek to destroy your family. And the same thing applies to our politicians. Our politicians and leaders of society and industry stand over society in the position of a father. So that if you place sin on the throne, so to speak, the nation will suffer. If we elect politicians who protect and promote intrinsic evils, we as a culture are placing sin on the throne. And as a consequence, we, the nation, will suffer. It is our fault. Our political leaders are, in essence, a reflection of ourselves. And in doing so, if we place political leaders on the, quote, throne of our nation, what have we done? We've invited the devil in. We have invited the devil and his minions to attack our society, our culture, to attack our nation. And as a consequence, judgment will not be far behind. Which then leads us to that question. Should Catholic bishops not excommunicate Catholic political leaders who support and promote intrinsic evils? We'll leave that question open for another day. Because remember, ultimately, Christ is King of Canada. Whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not, Christ the King is not Christ the King simply of your heart, but of creation itself. Canada is a creation of God. Christ's dominion and reign extends over this nation. And if Christ is King of Canada, the Queen is his mother, the Blessed Mother. So we as a nation, and even our political leaders who have been placed over the society as a father over a family, you are either in communion with your king or you are in open rebellion to your king and queen. And again, we will touch upon that in a future program. But speaking of our heavenly queen, think of this. You cannot truly serve and love your earthly queen, your wife, if you are not willing to love and serve your heavenly queen, the Blessed Mother. I'll repeat that. As the shepherd of your family, you cannot truly love and serve your earthly queen, your wife, if you are not willing to love and serve your heavenly queen, the Blessed Mother, the one who will crush Satan's head. Think of this also. The most important responsibilities that God has given a father is to be the guide, protector, and provider for his wife and family. Which is why, as Father Ripperger has said, God has given the father as part of his nature to be a disciplinarian and one who sets the boundaries. One who says, this is right, and that is wrong. No, you will not speak to your mother like that. You will not listen to that kind of music or dress like that. You will not drink or take drugs or come home late. You will do your chores. You will do your homework. In other words, it is the role of the husband, the father, to see to it that their children obey the fourth commandment to honor their father and mother. And think of it, we're living in a world where this pagan culture is preaching a new gospel to your children every single minute of the day. The gospel of do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to, and with whoever you want to. And this new pagan gospel, as I've mentioned in previous programs, comes with its own evangelists. And what are their pulpits? Where do you hear their sermons? The millions of CDs, radios, television shows, tapes, movies, YouTube, iPods, cell phones. These new evangelists of this new pagan gospel of ours are preaching every moment of the day, every hour of the day to your children, to you, to your family, to your children. One of the avenues which Satan is making use of to destroy your family. So what is a father to do? What is a mother to do? Pray with your children. Pray with them morning and evening and bless them. Be a student of the faith yourself. And you can't teach what you don't know. Learn about the faith so that you can pass on the faith, the true faith. Receive the sacraments frequently. Take them to Mass and not just on Sundays. Teach them about the lives of the saints, because our culture is teaching them about the lives and stories of their own saints. Our culture has created its own saints and heroes. The Batmans and Supermans and Spidermans, superheroes. Our culture has given our children new superheroes to admire and imitate. Teach them about the lives of the saints and the mystics of the church. Give them real superheroes with which to look up to and admire. And above all, as a father, love their mother. And teach your kids how much Christ loves the church by how much you love your wife. And speaking of the garden, where the war began, it seems like in our culture today, Satan has added a new tact in this war that began in the Garden of Eden. And that is because if you look around at our culture today, we have reached the point that fallen man has deified Mother Earth, has deified the garden, the worshiping now of the garden, the worshiping of creation over the Creator in this rampant, quote, environmentalism that is sweeping over our culture. It is like we were replacing the true religion with this new man-made religion. And it's like we've gone full circle in the Garden of Eden, whereby now fallen man is now worshiping the actual garden that we've been placed in. Where global warming, saving the planet, is the new crisis and not the salvation of souls. Where reducing our carbon footprint is the new gospel. Where environmentalism is the new green religion which has taken on cult-like qualities. Where our schools have become centers of eco-spirituality seminaries. Where abortion and contraception are the new sacraments in this culture. Where globalism and one world government, as proposed by many, has become the new Tower of Babel. And those who are true and faithful to our Lord, Christ the King, who do not follow this new man-made religion, who resist this new man-made religion, will be deemed heretics, who will be persecuted, punished, and exiled from the garden. We've gone full circle in this war between the serpent and the family. Choose sides. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Goodbye and God bless.
You have been listening to Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zompanti, here on Radio Maria Canada.